With Venmo Stash, a taco in one hand and ordering a ride in the other means you're stacking cash back. Nice. Get up to 5% cash back with Venmo Stash on your favorite brands when you pay with your Venmo debit card. From takeout to ride shares, entertainment and more, pick a bundle with your go-tos and start earning cash back at those brands. Earn more cash when you do more with Stash. Venmo Stash terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stashterms.
Tis the season of gifting and halls to deck, and the Whos in Whoville were in love with new tech. Where can we find Sonos and Samsung and Nintendo, they shouted. Would they find it in one place? This they questioned and doubted. When suddenly a Who yelled, Walmart's the place to start, and each Who added headphones, TVs, and games to their carts. With Walmart, their shopping was done in a flurry. They cried out, who knew, and ordered their gifts in a hurry. Shop the latest tech gifts in the Walmart app.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Barbara and Declan are with us once again. Good afternoon, Barbara.
Sure.
Good afternoon, Declan.
Good afternoon.
Declan's very sensitive to sound when he goes on air, he was telling us. So.
We keep the noise down.
I don't
you,
like there to be ambient noise. I want to be the only person making noise in a space.
We'll bear that in mind,
Barbara.
Yeah. We'll be very quiet.
I'm very annoyed as my husband has booked to go to Vegas next year on a stag. This is not a close friend, and I was surprised we'd even made the cut for the wedding, if I'm honest. 20 of his friends are going, and it seems to have turned into a big boys' trip. He never asked me about it, and instead I was informed that he's used 5 days of annual leave and a lot of money to do this lads' trip instead. I'm raging, as I was never even consulted. We've 2 young children and are barely getting by with the cost of childcare and everything else. And instead, he's eating into savings and annual leave to do this. He says I'm being dramatic. That it's a great chance to catch up with friends. But why should a group of lads pushing 40 think it's completely okay to be so reckless? I've been giving him the silent treatment, but he says I'm overreacting.
Mm-hmm. Of course he does. Of course he does. I think this is quite serious, actually, because I think that this is a massive breach on his part of one of the foundations of a committed relationship, which is trust and honesty and openness and transparency and all of those things that you kind of expect of your partner. And sharing, exactly. And the fact that he made a decision to use 5 annual leave days, which is a lot, without saying anything, and spend quite a bit of money is not just a breach of trust, but it's also like it's really disrespectful to his wife, and particularly problematic when the wife has said that they're barely getting by and that they have 2 small children as well. So it's not like they're sitting on pots of money that he, you know, that it doesn't matter if he's taken a good few grand out to indulge himself in this way. So I think it's very selfish, and I think it's irresponsible and it's disrespectful. I understand how tempting it must be from his point of view to have a lads' weekend away in Vegas and it all be crack. Because, you know, bringing up 2 small kids and working full time is definitely hard work. But I reckon his wife would love a break away as well, do you know, at some stage. However, having said all of that, obviously the silent treatment is perhaps not the best way to deal with this.
Sounds like another win.
What?
It's another win.
Oh, Declan. But I understand how angry she must be. And I think that if she needs to, you know, I don't know what we're saying, she needs to sit down and explain to him exactly how she feels and why this was not fair and was a breach of trust and a breach of all the things that you expect a partner to live up to when you're in a kind of a marriage or a committed relationship like that. And I think that if he can't see that, I think it's then possibly something that you'd need to maybe have some professional input into, maybe go and see a counsellor or something like that. Because it's very hard to get past something like this when you're the wronged, in inverted commas, party, when you're the one who's been ignored and been discounted as your husband indulges himself in something that you both can't afford. I think it's salvageable, but I think it depends on whether he understands what he's done or not.
Yeah. I think he probably does understand what this situation.
I think so too.
It reeks of a
that's worse.
You know, that kind of, what's that expression where, you know, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it reeks of that kind of situation. It also reeks of a, you know, a plan that was kind of concocted In the pub with the lads all around there. Yeah. And what I'd be intrigued to find out is whether or not him and the other lads who are pushing 40, as the letter writer describes, are all in the same situation. Because what can often happen is that a group of friends who've known each other for a long time just are at different stages in life when they make these kind of plans. So it might be very easy for some of the other lads down the pub to take 5 annual leave days, yeah, and to, you know, head off to Vegas for, you know, a trip of a lifetime scenario. You're only young once, that, you know, yeah, that kind of,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
When for somebody who clearly has other obligations and commitments, that's not actually in their wheelhouse. They don't have he doesn't have the right. He hasn't got the, he probably has the cash in his bank account to do it on the sly and do it and then go, oh, I did it. It's too late now. But the reality of it is that he, as you pointed out already, he doesn't really have the right to do that because they're in a shared situation where they need to
he
be
totally
making.
He probably doesn't have the right to do,
yeah,
that.
Like, I know. I'm saying the same thing. But what I'm saying is that what's happened is that the tickets are booked. You know, yeah, they're, so you're in a situation where you go, well.
But that was quite deliberate. Like,
yeah,
the I'm going to seek forgiveness afterwards rather than permission beforehand.
It's outrageous. It's like
that was
really
premeditated.
Outrageous.
Like, you know, and I think that the fact that his other mates might be in different situations where it is easier for them to do this, whether it's because they're not in relationships or they don't have kids or they've tons of money, is irrelevant.
It's irrelevant in judging whether or not he did a bad thing, but it's not irrelevant in understanding how it could be that he comes back from the pub with this harebrained scheme in his head.
Just selfish.
Oh, it's completely selfish. But what I'm saying is that I'm trying to give it an origin story, going, this, yeah, is how it happened. This is why it's happened. There's other aspects in there of how this happened, so that when you're discussing it with each other and you're putting all your cards on the table, some of the cards are going to read, me and my mates were drunk when we came up with this plan. I'm frustrated because it always seems to be obligation. Where's the me time?
Yeah.
You know, things I miss are my independence. All of these things. If you're going to be totally honest, that's what's going to be at the root of this really bad decision, rather than, you know, she's been overdramatic, which is completely not, nobody in their sane, yeah, mind would, yeah, say
she's
that she's overdramatic.
Overdramatic. Yeah,
and
no,
if she's even listening to that as a possible scenario, she's kind of, to use the parlance of the kids, being gaslit.
Yeah. And that's one of the, I don't know if the worst aspect of it, but like, I think there's a kind of a, oh, this is my last chance ever.
Yeah,
I'm stuck in this life of responsibility just once. And it's kind of like almost a Hollywood movie thing. You know,
yeah,
they all go,
yeah,
have
literally
a great time and then they never do it again.
Hangover.
But they have these happy memories, blah, blah.
It's so interesting.
He knew damn well if he'd brought it home, the answer would be no.
So we decided not to.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's even worse now. Rather than fessing up to that, He's gaslighting her.
Yeah.
So he's compounding what he's, yeah, you know, what the wrong
because
he's
he knows
done already.
He's so wrong that the only way that he can make himself not be a total a-hole in the situation is to kind of pretend that there's a kind of a grey area going on.
Without thinking
there's
about
a grey area,
he
but there's no grey area.
To doing this before he really sat down and thought about what he was
and
doing.
And it's also easier to be able to say that to yourself if you
doesn't
can point
sound like
out.
He's going that direction, though. She hasn't made any reference to what he has said about the fact that he has just said, he says she's overreacting. Like, she's not overreacting.
No, 100%
she's
totally
not overreacting.
I wonder, has he done anything like this before? Now, is it out of character for him, or is this a pattern?
This is good. You're both going to kill me now. But I actually think that this is something that men would do an awful lot easier than women. Because I genuinely believe that women, particularly when they're parents, automatically see everybody, how anything that we as women decide to do, we immediately look at how that's going to impact everybody around us before we actually make a decision. And
I was
going to
say exactly the same thing, except about straight people.
I'm just trying to work that out. But I do think that is the case. I think this is something that men would do much easier than women.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And end of story.
From her perspective, though,
is it salvageable, Declan?
I do think, though, that unless there is a meeting of minds in somewhere where he actually acknowledges that their relationship requires certain kind of ground rules, which are that you know, you don't spend our collective cash without a previous discussion. Yeah. Coming afterwards and going, I'm asking for forgiveness rather than permission, is actually a deal breaker. That it's not actually a, you know, it's not a process, it's not a methodology that can actually work. That that's actually going to destroy your relationship. Mm. If he doesn't see the error of his ways, she's basically sitting there going, this is a car crash. This is a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
And it's big trouble. And it's like, you know, so
the saying you're being dramatic is really the trouble.
Yeah.
And he's also not even coming anywhere close to him.
But I'm wondering if she's given him the silent treatment. I do think there needs to be a proper conversation.
Yeah.
Like maybe he's a bit dense. Or maybe he's just kind of thinking, ah, she'll get over it in time. Like, she'll forget. She'll be grand. It'll burn out. Her anger will burn out. But I think there needs to be a very honest conversation where she manages not to lose her temper, but to illustrate and explain to him really clearly how hurt she is. Because that's at the bottom line here. I mean, we can talk about trust and disrespect and all. She's very hurt to think that the person she has, you know, kind of hitched her wagon to so easily just forgot about her and the family in order to indulge himself.
Do you think that there would be a problem if they didn't have any financial worries in that, about that situation?
Yes, I think there still would be a problem. That's what creates a problem. Yeah.
The point for me is that it's not about, you know, it's just a bit of cash, we can pay it back, it doesn't matter, you know, we'll be in, you know, overdraft for a while. It's actually the betrayal. That's quite a dramatic word, but it is that breaking of their trust.
Exactly.
That's the big problem.
Exactly.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some comments on this. The fact that he didn't even chat to her about it first is outrageous.
Yeah.
Well, I think he didn't for precisely that reason. He knew himself. My wife has done the exact same thing. Holiday with the girls booking on a number of occasions. It's very disrespectful, selfish, and I get furious. I'm left to pick up the bills constantly. And someone else says, seriously, lads, you are blaming the fella for some time away. Maybe the truth is he needs a break from the wife.
Asher, maybe he does. Yeah, sure. That's okay. So,
it's her fault, really.
It's her fault.
She obviously has a lot of time in her hands because she's writing into us.
She's overreacting, I suppose.
Exactly, good man.
Could she maybe book some sort of counselor for the two of them and then just tell him and say, and if he freaks out, say, no, you're overreacting. Come along and tell me how wrong I am.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Was she going to book? Like a trip?
A counsellor.
A session
with a counsellor, because I think they will need somebody perhaps to mediate their, you know, the issue with them.
I have an hour-long commute on the bus to work every morning. I actually love this time because I read my book, listen to the radio or watch Netflix. I have a very busy house with small children, so I find my bus time is quite precious. However, an old acquaintance from college recently moved to our area. He takes the bus at the same time as me every morning. He insists on sitting next to me and chatting for the entirety of the journey. I find it intensely dull because we have very little in common and his inane chatter is a complete waste of my time. I've tried hiding and getting on the bus last so I can choose my seat, but eventually he sidles over to me. I've tried getting the next bus, but it gets me to work late. I've politely popped in my earphones to try and get him to stop, but he will start chatting again within 5 minutes. I feel like I'm in a farce. How do I get out of this soul-sapping situation?
Unless, you know, you've actually been in this kind of situation, you probably think that this is quite silly. But, you know, as somebody who's experienced this kind of stuff, I think the only solution to this is that you're going to have to fake your own death. That's the only answer. It's the only one.
Yeah.
No, seriously. Yeah. The reality of it is that a lot of people might go, oh, God, you know, that, you know, how bad can this situation actually be? But I think there's two aspects in here. One is that we do live in a kind of a time poor world where we kind of begrudge when our time is taken away from us by dreary people or by, you know, chores or trips to Vegas, whatever it is that happened to our lives. You can kind of build up this kind of frustration over somebody kind of doing what is it in essence, like a kind of a basic social thing. Hello. You know, that's quite a normal thing. But if they do it every day and you're always going to be trapped in the same situation, I can see how it can start working up into a thing. The problem is here, this letter writer is describing it on paper as this kind of thing. But in reality, what's actually probably happened is probably a lot more benign, because the reality of it is, if it was really bugging somebody so badly, they'd be a little bit more forward with their kind of pushing the person away. What's happening is this person is trying to have their cake and eat it, which is to get to do whatever the hell they want while at the same time not having any social consequences of it. So what they want to do is to make the person on the bus go away and not interact with them without hurting their feelings. Yeah. And from that point of view, you can't have it both ways. Yeah. You're going to have to be a little assertive. You have to, you know, come up with, a plan, which is, fake your own death, or it's to actually get on the bus and actually when they speak to you while you have your earphones in, don't respond.
Yeah.
Just go, point to them and go, I'm busy right now.
Yeah.
Be a little bit more, actually boundarify your boundaries and actually make them real boundaries, as opposed to this kind of half-assed way that you're doing it, which is to kind of give in real quickly and then complain about
it. No, I told you. I didn't know where you were going there for
a minute. I know. I was going on the bus journey.
You were on the scenic journey. But yeah, I mean, I think if this clown isn't like smart enough to take the hint of her wearing
some people
headphones,
are dense that way.
Yeah, I mean, if he's dense, themselves. Well, then you're going to have to, as you say, hit him straight
just
in the nose
twist
and
up
go,
the blend,
Joe.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm listening to something I want to listen to, so if you don't mind.
To the podcast of this very program,
absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, that would be a good one. And if he starts talking after 5 minutes again, just say, no, I'm still listening to this. You know, on the border, you don't have to be rude, but you have to be very definitely, what's the word? Assertive.
Yeah.
And definite about it. And I mean, she's in the good position where if he gets the hump and falls out, who cares? She doesn't want to be.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Maybe it's because he lives in their area. Maybe it's a small community. Maybe their kids go to the same school. All that, she wants to avoid
reputational damage.
Yeah, but if she doesn't say anything horrendous, all he can say is, "God, she's gone really weird," and that's fine. Be really weird. That's grand.
But in fact, she's not gone weird. She's just gone busy, or she's just kind of not available today.
Or when you like that time, like on a commute or something like that, where you have this precious piece of time and you have your book or you have your podcast or whatever. Like that is very precious. And she should hold on to that because life is busy enough. So, I wouldn't be short in telling Joe to kind of push off, because
it is okay, isn't it?
It's okay.
Because it's not like there's anything. Well, for a start, there's not like there's anything new being brought to the relationship by seeing somebody and having a conversation every day.
The relationship anyway,
which is kind of where I was going with it, is that the consequence of even, the assertiveness being perceived as a rude slight.
Yeah.
The worst thing that can possibly happen is that your man goes, I don't want to speak to you ever again.
That's grand. I mean, the only thing is that I do think maybe some people would find that difficult to be kind of rude to somebody, they would find that they couldn't do that. And then it's worth getting up early and getting the earlier rather than the later bus. And having
but that's
extra
not being
time.
Rude. I think that's the problem. The problem isn't about it's about realizing that what you're thinking of, what you're categorizing as being
that
rude.
Dense, that if you say
no, because he must be, because it's first thing in the morning. People are like, oh, I don't want to talk to anybody for at least an hour. Obviously, this is not the guy. This guy wants to talk to everybody immediately.
But if he's the guy who is that dopey, as you've just described, but also has the doe eyes, that if you turn around and say, look, I'm still with you, he's like, oh, you feel like you've kicked Bambi in the gob. Like, it makes you feel bad.
Sometimes you got to kick Bambi in the gob.
Sometimes you got to kick Bambi in the gob. Yeah, no, that's right. Or else get up early and get an earlier bus and have more time.
Tell him you're doing an online college course and that your career and financial future depends on you focusing on your phone during this time. Pretend to be asleep. Chances are he's thinking, oh God, I have to chat to her every morning.
No, he's not. No, he's definitely not.
no, he's not.
It's silly to avoid awkward situations like this bus trip. If you had proper boundaries, you'd have told them. The fact that you're trying and still talking says more about you.
Yeah.
Drop the hammer.
Kind of what I think.
Whoa.
Gosh, that's very.
I kind of feel
harsh.
That though. I think you have to be a little bit.
Yeah, but don't be so harsh.
You have to own your reluctance to be perceived as being rude.
Not nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the you problem.
Just talk to that person. I had a similar issue previously when commuting. I have said it to people that I work with who I would see on the train. When in the office, I spoke to them and said not to be offended, but I tend to do my own thing on the commute, read, etc. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that's what we're telling her.
It's silly, could that chap just tell the annoying, it's a woman, tell that annoying fella she has to get some work done so they're going to sit somewhere else? Well, she's kind of tried that. Say you're doing a language course and get a car. Useful suggestion.
Make your own death, it's the easiest.
Whichever's
cheaper. I'm a married man in my 40s. I have a gambling habit which has gotten out of control. My wife has no idea. She knows I like a flutter. I would always have gone to the horse racing, but recently I've lost a significant amount of our savings. I'm putting in overtime at work. She's begun to ask questions why. I'm completely racked by guilt and don't know what to do or where to start.
God. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm not an expert in addiction, but this sounds kind of serious to me. Yeah. And I'm wondering the bit where he said that he's putting in overtime at work and she's beginning to ask why. Is that to pay back the money he's spent or is that funding his ongoing gambling? Because I'm assuming from his letter that he's still gambling because he says, I have a gambling habit which has gone out of control. Mm. So I'm assuming that it's out of control. So the overtime he's doing is maybe not really paying off his debt. It's actually just funding more gambling.
Trying to put back the savings that he's lost. I think he was talking about savings.
Yeah, but I mean, I wonder, is he putting it all back or is he also, keep gambling? I mean, you know, to me, the advice is get professional help. You know, there are organisations out there. One is gamblingcare.ie who have a lot of information on their website, but it's vital. The first thing you've got to do is recognize an addiction. I mean, I have a gambling habit which has got out of control, sounds to me. And as I say, I'm not an expert, that sounds like you have an addiction, and that is the first thing you have got to address, you know, because there's no point, as I've just said, in you working overtime to put back in the savings if you're still gambling, because you're just going to end up back in the same boat again a little bit further down the road. Get involved with a service and they will help you to overcome your addiction, but also they will help you in how to address this with your wife. So I don't think there's any quick fix here. I think, you know, help is out there and it is possible to overcome addictions, but I think you will probably need professional help to do that.
Yeah. And yeah, if they're saying it's a habit.
Yeah.
And
it's out of control.
That's an addiction.
The one thing I want to add is I agree with what you're saying, and it is a heavy subject, and it is one that requires proceeding with very care and getting advice from the right people. But it seems to break up into two parts. One is the consequence of their behavior creating a mess that they want to fix. You know, seemingly they want to fix it and they want to fix it easily. And that's, you know, that would keep you on the hamster wheel of gambling. And the other one is actually recognizing what you have as a problem. Yeah. So I think that you have to stop trying to find the way to fill the hole of the mess you've made and actually recognize that you're in a problem. And the problem is because you have an underlying
addiction.
Gambling.
And there is Gamblers Anonymous.
Yeah, there's plenty of organization, but you need to take that first step.
Yeah.
And sort that out.
Because I imagine it's probably might be an idea, because obviously he has to tell his partner, but maybe it might be better if when he tells her
that he's already taken the first step.
Yes, I agree.
I think it is like, you know, because some people might in their reluctance to acknowledge that they have a problem might feel that is, you know, to use the language of our previous letter, an overreaction. But the reality of it is that there's no way that you can make a move to get yourself out of the hole that you've dug for yourself without recognizing
you have a problem.
The behaviors that are causing the outcomes, and that the outcomes
I mean, again, as I say, I'm no expert, but even with alcohol addiction or I presume drug addiction or gambling like this, the person who has the addiction is very often reluctant to admit that they have a problem. Mm-hmm. They go, I actually have, like, I would have been happier if this letter said, I think I'm a gambling addict.
Yeah.
But he hasn't. He's just had a gambling habit which has gotten out of control, which sounds like it's a
minor blip. That's why I was talking about the two different aspects. One is that is the treatment for an addiction. Yeah. But the first part is the insight. Recognizing that that your behaviour is creating a problem. And it's not just, now there's a hole in our savings which I have to fill. Because to a gambling addict, the answer to that is always going to be in gambling.
And that's not
the way to solve this problem.
So that's not the problem.
And when you're approaching your wife as well, you have to recognize that your behavior and your issue is causing a problem for your partner that may result in them obviously having loss of trust in you because you're like the very first letter, actually, interestingly enough, you're spending shared resources without permission. And that's a trust issue as well. So there's a lot going on there.
There is a lot going on.
She's not going to be thrilled when
he tells her.
Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
With Venmo Stash, a taco in one hand and ordering a ride in the other means you're stacking cash back. Nice. Get up to 5% cash back with Venmo Stash on your favorite brands when you pay with your Venmo debit card. From takeout to ride shares, entertainment and more, pick a bundle with your go-tos and start earning cash back at those brands. Earn more cash when you do more with Stash. Venmo Stash terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.